Coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach, you're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade. And I'm sitting here in our top secret location with South Bay J. Cruz.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I barely made it here.
Yeah, it's kind of a little surprise.
Well, listeners, listen closely. At 11:15, I thought it was 12:15. I don't know. I'm no drinking.
No so daylight savings.
Yeah, nothing.
Time.
And no excuse. No drugs. No drinking. And nothing. But I text Jay and said I can't make it because we have two grandkids coming over, and. I want to suck. Not that they need me.
Yeah.
Pam could handle it. But I said, I'm going to stay home and hang out with the grandkids.
Sure.
And then it turns out they're going down for a nap at 1 o'clock anyway. So I called you up and said, okay, can I make it? So I had to haul ass up here. I made it up here in 12 minutes.
Yeah, you made it in good time.
And usually it takes a lot longer. I didn't hit one light, not one anything. And I live on the opposite side of town from the top secret location.
Yes.
And obviously we're not that big a city.
No.
So it went, and there are no accidents, no cars, I mean, no nothing.
That's the thing. A lot of times there's some traffic. You know?
Well, I made it. It was all good. Pam goes, you should go. She said, what's the matter? I go, I don't know. I was getting kind of bored.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, go do your radio show. I said, well, I told him I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
She goes, my wife kicked me out. She goes, go up there and do it.
Go do your show.
Just get home fast.
Yeah.
Because we're going to walk the kids over to the nail salon where my daughter's getting her. Mani-pedi.
Okay.
We don't babysit just for work. They're fun times, too. So
oh, of course.
We'll walk them over there. We have to walk. It's only three blocks.
Yeah.
But because we don't have any car seats for the kids, and I can't put them in the golf cart.
No, maybe not. Kids, so it might be. Go flying out like a ball.
Yeah, well, I don't wear a seatbelt, but they would. But they've been on slowly around the block.
Uh-huh.
But that's where their dads are there. So I'm not doing it. But anyway, I'll get home. We'll get out of here. So anyway, I finally made it. And it's just kind of like tomorrow, I can practice a little bit. Tomorrow, I'm the speaker at our Rotary Club.
Oh, okay.
I've been a speaker for a long time. It's called a craft talk.
Craft talk.
It's a half hour. You talk about your life.
Yeah.
And then Rotary things. And want me to talk about how I was the first president of this Rotary Club I'm in.
Uh-huh.
And the... Because you meet people, and when you're the president, next thing I know is a politician.
Yeah.
That's part of my whole thing tomorrow, how Rotary got to me to be the mayor and then kicked out. But I'm talking to people about running again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to. But now there's an open seat. Again, they put that moron in there. They appointed the guy.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Mayor, so.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Gerald Ford.
Yeah,
back
but,
in the 70s, although there was a protocol for him.
And Gerald Ford had ethics.
Yeah, he's Speaker of the House. And,
yeah, he's trained.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not going to run. No way.
Just put it out there to freak people out, though.
Nah, because social media is so mean.
It is. Unforgiving.
The current mayor has on emails that we obtained legally.
Yeah.
Where he admitted to be the one that put up all these memes about myself and other candidates and the Center Cal project. And it was a kind of cool one with me with a Pinocchio nose.
I never realized I could be a Disney character.
Yeah, I was a Pinocchio nose, and it was pretty cool. Now, it's been taken down.
Uh-huh.
But he admitted that he got in trouble from Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And this was...
He violated the community guidelines
I guess
something.
He did, so... And it's ironic because Pam and I were in Italy a few years ago, and we just ran out of time. We were scheduled to go to this city up, little town, up by Florence, where Pinocchio was.
Oh, boy.
It's all about Pinocchio. The author lived in that town.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to take a bunch of pictures and send them over there as a smart ass, but luckily we couldn't make it. I just would have poked the bear too many times.
It's kind of funny.
It is funny. But these people, they're crazier.
Yeah, they are.
They're batshit crazy, and you
big
know
time.
That. Yeah.
Big time.
So, I happen to love my grandkids and my wife and my house, and I don't like broken windows, and I don't like flat tires. So
no,
I'm not going to run. It's only a mayor thing. It's like,
yeah,
you think you were the mayor of a New York City or L.A.
You're right.
Redondo Beach, 70,000 people.
Of which 50,000 don't even know who the mayor is.
They don't.
Seriously. I mean, they don't even vote or all that stuff.
I went for a walk the other day by myself. We first walked the dog for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And she drove me crazy. So I put her away. I told Pam I wanted to walk another mile and a half. So I went around the block a few times, a few blocks away. And these two ladies were talking out in front. And one lady knew me.
Uh-huh.
And we're chatting. She asked me all these questions about city politics.
Oh, boy.
Other lady goes, well, you seem to know what you're talking about. What's your name? I said, I'm Steve Aspel. She
uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. I go, you've lived here for 20 years, but I never met her.
Yeah.
So, which means that she didn't vote for me.
Right.
Probably. But anyway, I'm down in the front yard talking to these people for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Pam goes, well, you were gone a long time. I said, well, I still wanted to walk.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you were in politics. You have to, and if you don't stop and talk to everybody.
Yeah, then you're labeled as whatever.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to talk to everybody. The one person you ignore,
uh-huh,
you're disrespecting.
And they actually vote.
And they vote.
It's true. But, which in this city is a crapshoot. I'm just saying. I'm calling people out. Yeah. They need to really be active.
Well, I told people all the time, they still want to bitch at me about stuff. I go, elections have consequences.
They do.
And this is going on because of that. Now you know some of these guys have been corrupted by the system.
Yeah.
And they still won't change their mind. You know, people have short memories.
They do.
And about their folk heroes.
Right.
You know, so the only reason I thought about it, I've been asked by a lot of people, but I thought about it because I got cheated out, not cheated, I lost the election.
Mm-hmm.
I got cheated out of my one chance to be a lame duck.
Uh-huh.
And the most fun job in any politician is to be a lame duck.
Yeah.
Because you can literally flip people off and there's nothing. It doesn't matter. You don't have to run again.
You're termed out.
You don't have to be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta be nice. I like to be nice to everybody, but you don't have to watch what you say.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch what I said too much when I was mayor and council, but as you know. Anyway, well, I got the grandkids at home. They were fun. No more politics. And they're ones, I don't know. They don't know how old they are, really. I mean, why don't they just talk about a year and a half? Or they're talking months.
Right. Up till like two, it's like 18 months, 16 months, 14 months. Yeah. Like,
so my older one was born on July 4th, 2 years ago, so that's easy.
Yeah.
The other one's like 4 months younger than her.
Right.
But the one that's younger is kind of dominating.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And they're cousins. They love each other. They're fun and run around the house and go destroy my office. My stuff. But it's quite a trip. You see all my posts on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a whole new lifestyle when you have grandkids come over because the house is just destroyed.
Yeah.
And my daughter Kate's pregnant with a boy.
Okay.
Turns out it's a boy.
All right.
And they want to name it Declan.
Declan, okay.
It's an Irish name.
It is. I was going to say the only other person I remember, Declan McManus, who is also known as Elvis Costello.
No way, really?
Yeah, he changed his name to Elvis from Declan and threw on Costello. He must have been an Abbott and Costello fan or something.
That's funny, Declan.
Declan McManus is Elvis Costello.
Well, they wanted an Irish name.
Yeah, that's an Irish name.
Yeah, it is. And and because his last name's Garrity.
Uh-huh. Says it.
Got to have an Irish name.
That'll be a cool name.
Yeah, it'd be Declan. I'll have to tell him that. He first told me that. I went, huh?
Yeah.
Really, because my other son-in-law, they're debating. Well, Katie and Jarrett are debating names. Declan's one of them.
Yeah.
My other son-in-law, I said, if you had a son, what would you name him? He goes, Jameson. I go, why? You don't even drink it, Jameson. He goes, no, I love the name Jameson.
It's a good name.
And I go, any other thoughts? He goes, none. No, he goes, I don't even care what your daughter says. It's going to be named Jameson.
Yeah.
And I said, wow. Well, you got balls, boy, because Brett's pretty tough. And my son-in-law, Justice, is a pretty cool guy. But I go, what's your middle name, Justice? I never knew.
Uh-huh.
Well, he had a rough upbringing. His
okay.
mom was in federal penitentiary, in and out.
That qualifies as a rough upbringing,
yeah,
for
and,
sure.
His dad's a good guy, but you know, aloof.
Mm-hmm.
But he has nine siblings.
Oh, wow.
From nine different fathers.
Well.
Whoa. He raised himself.
Yeah. I guess you would have to almost with that.
I go, what kind of pictures do you have? You have childhood pictures? You go, no.
Yeah.
Nothing. What's your middle name? I don't have one.
Uh-huh.
I go, that's what, how, he's a great guy. Very, very lovable and effective
father. He's absolutely
father.
A cool guy.
Yeah, good guy. And, but it made him headstrong.
Yes.
And so I said, well, James, it's a great name. So,
yeah.
But Declan, Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's one of those trivial, you know.
I can use that. Did you ever see, he was on Two and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Same show with Sean Penn.
Uh-huh.
And some other guy that died, I told you his name, you'd know him. He's a character actor, but
yeah,
it was quite hilarious, him and Sean Penn. Elvis Costello, very funny. But, okay, so what else we got here? Yeah, so when I talk tomorrow, I got to talk about a few minutes about my life.
Uh-huh.
How I met Pam. I should tell him about all my other bad stuff going on. But
nah.
Yeah. But
and
the jobs I have going, and then how to become a politician.
Yeah.
And see what they do. So
I was talk to him about doing the radio show.
I'm going to. Well, that's cool. On there. I have like four things.
Uh-huh.
On a little list, but I'm going to talk about that. But I speaking of the radio show, I looked at the new website.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to bother going upstairs and telling Linda, but there's no. It says Steve and Friends.
Yeah.
Every episode, so I don't know who's who. I finally found the first one to feed the kitty by trying to narrow it down.
Yeah.
But I went by there, and I'm going, I guess every show, but I'm going, oh, how do I find the one I want to listen to? This is Steve and Friends, but it would be a monumental task to try and go back and put the names of the guests in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not suggesting that, but I noticed it, being the complainer that I am. But I
probably have to like maybe get you copies of some old shows or something.
No, I've gone through them. I've gone through a bunch, and I know where they're at.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take charge of anything. I want to do nothing. So
less is more.
Well, it's cool. It's a cool website.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. You work on that or just Linda?
I haven't done much other than what I do, uploading, and then we're kind of transferring files to a new website to handle the website traffic or handle the archive shows, the on-demand shows.
Oh, okay. Because Linda, I know that she's working hard.
Very.
She? Yeah. Because last week when she showed me the website,
uh-huh.
And Linda McKenzie's the owner of the station, everybody. So anyway, she shows me the website. And I go, can I get another picture?
Uh-huh.
She went, no. No. That's not going to happen. I go, so I went, okay. I kind of want the one with the beard. But she said, nope. She said, okay, I'm out. I'm leaving now. I don't want to get involved. So if you have suggestions, you have to do the work, and I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going on with you? What have you been doing?
I don't know if I mentioned it last week, either on air or off air, but I've been taking a couple of vocal lessons.
Yeah, you told me that.
Okay.
I don't know if it was on air or off air, but
yeah.
How's that working out?
So far, so good. I've taken two, you know, but I'm a better at it than I was before those two, you know. Just basic stuff like warming up and then trying to match the vocal note to the notes on an instrument, you know.
We did have this discussion on air.
Okay.
But I remember saying your voice is such a natural.
Uh-huh.
You should be a great singer. It doesn't always translate over.
Right. It's like saying, hey, that kid's got a great swing. Is he playing baseball swing or golf swing? I mean, they're both different. You know, golf is a game of finesse. Baseball, a little bit more power. Golf, the ball sits there, and you get a minute or two to look at it and plan out your shot. Baseball, you get almost two tenths of a second to identify, is that a fastball or a curveball? And, you know, then you kind of guess and take a shot at it and hope your coaching staff was right and tendencies of where this guy likes to throw.
With some of those guys, like the quarterbacks or pitchers, I use good golfers. I mean, the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
There's an old... Obviously, it's got to be old Tommy Lasorda interview.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard it?
I've heard a few.
Well, about the difference hitting a golf ball and a baseball?
No.
Well, Tommy Lasorda was the manager of the Dodgers, obviously. And he could talk. He had a vocabulary.
He's a good guy. Good interview.
Made me look like I don't swear at all.
Yeah.
And he's talking to Jim Healy or some guy on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And the guy said, it's got to be harder to hit a golf ball.
Uh-huh.
And he laid into the guy. If you can Google it, Tommy Lasorda on the difference between golf and baseball.
Okay.
F-U, F-U, F-U. That golf ball sitting there staring at you.
Yeah.
and you can do whatever you want. You get to hit it.
Yeah.
That baseball's coming at you 100 miles an hour. You got 0.2 seconds to think about it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And the difference is, you know, millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
You can hit that ball. But it's, I think hitting the baseball's got to be harder.
It's got to be one of the toughest things in sports. Yeah. You know, and again, when you watch TV, all these athletes make everything they do look so easy. A couple of weeks ago, I didn't watch a lot of it, but I tuned in and out at times of the Masters, and it was getting down in the final round, and I was just pointing out to someone, I go, you see all those people just standing there around the green? That's confidence. Like, if I was out there golfing, those people would be running the opposite direction because they're all in the way.
Well, you see, look at the first hole of Augusta. They're lined up. It's only like a 10-yard area.
Yeah.
They're lined up for about 50 feet.
Yeah.
Straight down from the tee box, and I'd be scared out of my mind because most of mine would shank in the crowd.
I shank a lot, so.
And I shank more the more people are watching.
Yeah. More people, the nervous I'm going to get.
Especially that is for, $4.5 million for the winner? That's a lot of pressure.
The Masters is a big one, yeah.
Those guys are good.
They're very good.
And that's one sport where size doesn't matter.
Right.
Because the littlest guy can hit the ball a ton. And the big guys don't hit them that far. So everybody hits it equally, basically, now.
Yeah, the club does most of the work.
Yeah, but it's just the speed.
Yeah.
They swing it.
Yeah.
And, God, I haven't golfed in 2.5 years.
I'm kind of in the mood to go do some golfing this summer.
I may try it again. The doctor recommended against it with all these back surgeries.
Right.
And I don't want to wind up doing back-in-the-back surgery.
Ever. Yeah, no.
But the trouble is my mind won't let me just do a little par 3 swing a 9-iron.
Yeah.
Because
you've played real courses. You know what it's like.
Yeah,
I
played in other countries. And I played in other states, and I'm still shitty.
But it's fun to play.
So I got down to like a 10 handicap one time like 30 years ago.
That's good.
But I haven't missed golf.
Right.
It kills the whole day.
It does.
And it's really expensive now.
And oh, yeah.
Because you got to buy 25 beers. You got to bet. and it's just, you got to go before and after.
Yes.
And I always had to buy my wife flowers.
Right.
I had this one beautiful flower shop called Villa Hermosa in the city of Torrance.
Oh, naturally.
On the way home from most places, I'd call them ahead of time. And I said, I wanted a $30 bouquet.
Right.
And for $30 at this place, it looked like it should be on top of a casket.
Uh-huh.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Or a wreath at a funeral. But I'd stop every time.
Right.
And buy her flowers.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, until she got bored of getting flowers. She goes, you're no longer just stopping and getting flowers. I know what you're doing. Now you're planning this all out. Buying flowers has to be spontaneous, according to women.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But you pack it all together. And
there you go. You buy flowers and you still do the wrong thing. That's just life for men.
That's women.
Yeah, that's our, little dance. It's like, you never buy me flowers, and you buy me flowers all the time, and now it's pre-planned. I don't like the flowers anymore.
I don't want them because you called ahead of time.
Yeah.
You didn't go there and suffer there with all the other men and go, let me look at that one. Let me look at this one. I pick them out one by one.
Yeah.
But I'd never bring home the pre-arranged bouquets. I said, make one up.
Yes.
You bring home a prearranged bouquet in one of those crappy little glass bottles, vases.
Yeah.
You might as well just give them a carton full of eggs filled with shit. It's got to be personal.
Yes.
You can't just, like cards.
Mm-hmm.
It has to mean something. If you ever give a card out, I think most married men know this, you better read it first.
Yeah.
And you have to underline at least one thing.
Yes.
And you have to make it know that's about you. And women, whatever. You know, imagine people that do a transition to another, change sex.
Yeah.
That means they have the bad traits of both of us.
Probably.
Both sexes.
Yeah.
So funny. We all have our things. But, but golf, back to golf, it is a day killer.
It absolutely is.
And then when my wife started to want to golf, and if anybody's honest, there's not a person out there that wants to really golf with their wife.
No.
Nobody does.
You know, I think I read somewhere a couple things about golf. Number one, it's 18 holes because I guess, I forget the size of a bottle of scotch, like a quart of scotch.
Yeah.
It was 18 shots.
Okay.
So some old Scottish guy decided he's going to have a little rip before every hole. And the bottle lasted 18 shots, so they go, we'll make them 18 holes.
That's got to be... That's a Scottish story. It's probably cool. It's probably quite right. You never know.
And then the other one, they say that, or someone maybe, I don't know whoever they came up with the name of golf, but someone said it means gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
Hmm.
And again, that could have been after the guy did the 18 holes and discovered 18 shots of scotch was, 18 holes.
Well, I'm going to work with the ladies anyway.
Right. Yeah, so, these could be tall tales.
It's funny about the women, though, because ever since the basketball, I'm watching women's sports again.
How about Caitlin Clark? She sold more jerseys after she was drafted to an NBA team, which is the Indiana Fever, I think. Indiana team.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, playing in Indianapolis. She sold more jerseys in like 1 or 2 days after she was drafted than the Dallas Cowboys sold all last year.
Good for her. And she makes a profit off that, I'm sure.
She does, I believe.
Someone mentioned on a Facebook, a couple of friends of mine, and they're passing around this one of these memes. How come she only makes $76,000 and LeBron James makes $30 million or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, because nobody goes to WNBA games.
Yeah.
Now they'll be on TV.
Yeah.
So, no pun intended, she's the great white hope.
She could be like the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson situation. There was a time you probably remember, how many of us actually stayed up to 11:30 to watch the beginning of a playoff basketball game back in the 70s when they were on tape delay?
Never.
I stayed up and watched like the intro in the first quarter. I don't think I ever made it past 12, 15 of any of those games.
You know how boring it is. I watched part of the Laker game, playoff game yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing Denver.
Yeah.
And they got smoked by Denver all year long and last year. And they were ahead by 15 points.
They got up to 20.
20, okay, well.
Yeah.
And then I turned it off. I was watching something on Netflix, and I decided to check my phone, and they were ahead by 6.
Mm-hmm.
I just turned off everything and went to bed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that late because they started early.
Yeah, a little bit earlier. National coverage.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't want to watch it on TV. I didn't want to listen. This morning I watched SportsCenter. I went, oh my God, they did lose in the last play, the last shot of the game.
Yeah.
But people are watching women's sports a lot more now.
Yes.
Because a lot of it's Caitlin Clark. And you got to get these people. You know, I know it's kind of a touchy situation, but she is the great white hope. And now they get people, the white guys watching women's sports, up the ante big time.
Oh, big time.
And then the ladies that got drafted. I watched the draft.
Nice.
And the ladies, even the one that made fun of Caitlin Clark last year, Angel.
The one from LSU, I think.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
And all these women there, and it was great. It was really a lot of fun to watch it. It wasn't like watching dudes out there primping and stuff. These were a lot of fun.
No, this class of women that just entered the WNBA, they were a very talented college group.
Yeah.
It really upped the level of the college game where games are more exciting. Caitlin Clark broke Pete Maravich's record.
I saw that.
Male or female, Pete Maravich, he made some shots. He scored some points, and to beat his record is, incredible. Male or female, 1970s or 2020s, whatever.
Right.
It's a number that's been up there for like, 45, 50 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He died about 20 years ago, I think. Heart attack.
Yeah, heart attack. And he was a great player. I mean, kind of forgotten. He definitely would translate in today's game.
He was a
great passer, played with a little bit of flair, had some good moves, and a great shooter. Old Pistol Pete.
Pistol Pete from LSU or where?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere.
LSU.
How do I know that?
Because our long-term memory is spot on, but we can't remember what we did this morning.
I don't remember what I did this morning. You're right.
Comedian Bill Burr, who's a comedian, and it's his job to make fun of things that, people were like when the, just last year he had a bit that was going around online about the women's sports and WNBA. People going, how come, they don't make as much as the women? And he's like, well, when was the last time you went to a WNBA game?
Exactly. When's the last time you watched it on TV?
Even that, and stuff like that. So, I hope it does raise its profile. I think it will. She's a great player.
And she's bringing in a whole new genre of people. Well, that's the right word for it. And it's bad for us old white guys. We didn't watch it before.
Yeah.
But now we tuned it in, and it's pretty cool. And I enjoyed it.
I do too.
I really did enjoy it over watching the men.
They had higher ratings, so you and I weren't the only ones.
And, you know, there's... Until the football season starts again, then we'll be back.
Then all bets are off, and it's back to King football.
Yeah, and I'll watch the men's Masters, but not the women's. I don't really care too much about the golf. But anyway, when my wife started golfing, I remember one time at a really, really expensive golf course in San Diego, or Carlsbad, and she couldn't get the ball out of the sand trap. I finally said, pick it up and throw it. And she almost threw her club at me.
Yeah.
Because if you know my wife, she's uber competitive.
She is.
So she, I think, she, I said, I'll give you a 20. And she didn't say make it a 5. But she was going to get that ball out of there with her club.
Yeah.
And with another couple I barely knew.
Uh-huh.
It was a farmer's insurance convention.
Okay.
And I said, just bear with it. She's not going to pick it up and throw it. He goes, okay, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of farmers insurance, remember I had to go testify last Tuesday?
Yes.
Last week? Yeah.
Maybe two weeks
ago.
Yeah, last week.
He won.
Oh, good.
Well, he wasn't as much as they thought.
Uh-huh.
He got a $1.5 million.
Good for him.
Good for him. I'd take that.
Right.
So the two guys, the lawyer called me, and it was kind of cool because – the lawyer talked to the jury after they came in with their verdict.
Right.
And they hated the two Farmers insurance guys.
Uh-huh.
They said Farmers wasn't being malicious. They didn't think. They're just being stupid.
Ah.
Their employees.
Yeah.
And I had worked with these two guys, and when they told me who they were, I went, oh, no shit. They were
very stupid.
They were turds back when I was there. But I felt pretty proud of the fact the guy goes, the lawyer said, you know, the jury loved you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, they want to have a beer with you. They don't want to do anything with the other guy. Because when they asked me, I think maybe I mentioned it, they asked me, how did you start with Farmers? I said, well, I got fired from Safeway.
Right.
And that made them all laugh.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I told the guy, well, if you're feeling magnanimous because I saved your ass.
Yeah.
You know, a stipend would be nice. An honorarium would be better.
Yeah, take me for $10,000 worth of beer.
Well,
or 20.
That's kind of what I asked for.
$1,000 worth of beer.
We had talked. You know, if you say you're getting paid for it, they don't take you as serious if you're expert witness.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll talk to you afterwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did put a small request in.
Good.
So, more than what he wanted to give me. But
always. You know, now that I won my case.
Now I won his case,
all this money's spent.
Well, it's tax-free.
Yeah, so that's nice.
And his lawyer's not taking the 40%. He's just taking a smaller thing. So
wow.
The guys, some lawyers just don't like insurance companies.
Right.
So I told him, even I testified, I'm not mad at Farmers. They treated me well.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at anybody there. But it's just he hates them so much. He was almost doing it for free.
Wow.
And
lawyers need to put that in their advertisement. Like, I hate this industry.
Well, those guys, that's all you see on TV anymore.
I know.
Call Jacob. Who's the other guy?
Sweet James.
Yes.
The Great Beard of Justice.
So his beard's purple now. So is there.
That guy's a little too much.
He's the kind of guy you kind of want to slap.
Yeah, he's a guy you would have punched out in high school. In between classes just for being him.
I like Jacob, but I like I don't know around the world if they have the same advertisement for lawyers as we have here.
Yeah.
If you watch the evening news or anything, they come on one after another.
They do.
And I talked to a lawyer that I use, and he said they spend about, like Sweet James spends about $1 million per month.
Wow. Yeah, he's everywhere. I mean, I hear him on the Dodgers station because that's just the station I listen to 98% of the time, unless I'm listening to an Angels game, which is rare. You know, I just admit, I know they're down the dial.
Why?
They're just down the dial. You know, the Dodgers broadcast is just so much more professional than the Angels broadcast. It's very much like, even up in the Bay Area, I like the A's, but the Giants broadcast was 100% better. You knew what channel they were on. Great announcers. Like the A's, they're moving around like every, you didn't know where to find them from season to season. Mm-hmm. They could never really get a solid radio contract. And I worked with the guy who's been the A's announcer for the last 25 some odd years when he was doing San Jose State basketball as I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was running his board in the studio, and he was out live on plays. Ken Korak is his name. But the Giants' presentation was on a way better radio station. Actually, hear it all the way to the Grapevine from Northern California. So if you're driving anywhere in California, you can pretty much hear the Giants. The A's was all over the place, and now look where they're at. They're in serious limbo.
They're nowhere. They're as bad as the Angels.
Going to Sacramento.
I'm going to they're going to Sacramento?
The A's are. Well, they're going to play in, ironically, the Giants' minor league affiliate stadium up there called the River Cats. So they're going to be playing in a like 10,000 to 14,000 seater.
And that's you know more than they get anyway.
But getting more than they get now. And that's going to be a fun experience for the people of Sacramento who choose to go to those games.
Are they moving to Vegas?
Apparently in 3 years, but it's going to take a while to build that stadium. And I don't know how well baseball is going to do in the middle of summer in Las Vegas.
Well, it's an enclosed stadium.
It's going to have to be, but I haven't heard anything. They have to because you can't survive sitting outside on 115-degree weather, you know, unless you have shade and
a breeze. You're facing the sun or it's horrible, and it's not windy out there usually in the summer.
And then again, is this team going to draw anybody?
Well, they will if they get good.
That's the thing.
You
got to
get good.
That's it. Is this owner ever going to turn it around, hire a manager to a general manager to go out and do that? He seems to be very cheap, or he's tanking the team and just locking it up for the move.
I think he's just waiting for to sell the team someday and make $1 billion.
Yeah.
So speaking of losing teams, is the Angels.
Uh huh.
Jack Maher's singing the national anthem on May 25th.
Okay.
At Angel Stadium. They're playing the Guardians.
Okay.
So it's easy to get a ticket.
I was going to say.
So
half the people don't even know they're the Guardians.
Maybe,
and that's
maybe you can go with us. Pam and I.
From Cleveland.
Pam and I are going to go. Not for the whole game.
Right.
Now, I've got to find out if Angel Stadium's like Dodger Stadium, where if you buy any seat, you still walk around everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't need a seat. I need 4.5 minutes, however long the national anthem is.
And the home of the brave.
Bye. Yeah.
We're out of here.
He gets to use his guitar.
Oh, cool.
In Dodger Stadium, he didn't.
Yeah.
So, you're a musician. When you go out, you're holding your guitar, you're now a different person.
And it's a comfort level. I was even thinking about that, kind of on the heels of you saying I was taking a voice lesson. And that's what I did yesterday. I actually had a guitar and was like, okay, let me hit that note and let me hit that note with my voice, as opposed to, just these scales on tape, which are good for warm-ups, but, it's like ear training as well so that I hear a note, I can kind of get there in my head. And I was thinking about that. I go, I wonder if, because I was thinking about the thing with Jack saying, because in one way it seems like it'd be easier to sing without an instrument because you're just singing. But then if you've been doing that way your whole life or whole career, it's going to be awkward to not have your guitar in your hand. And
you've seen him do it. He's amazing.
He's a stone cold pro.
Yeah.
So
he is amazing.
Yeah.
They always give Jack, his other buddy, the credit, Jack, Joe, the handsome guy.
Well, John Mayer.
Jack is better.
I do too.
But I'm a little prejudiced anyway. But anyway, Pam and I are going to go down to the game, at least as of right now.
Uh huh.
And make a turnaround. I'm not sitting for an Angel game, especially against the Guardians.
Yeah.
But I last time I was at an Angel game, it was Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow.
Was a rookie.
Okay.
And
that's early 90s. Late 80s?
I was in the 20-30 club. They throw you out when you're 40, and now I'm 71, so it was a while back, obviously. But we got to see Ken Griffey Jr.
That's cool.
And I don't know. The Angels probably had a bunch of washed-up Yankees on the team by then, so Reggie Jackson or something. But no, there's no reason to go there. But I think, actually, to drive to Anaheim Stadium and back is probably just the same time as driving to Dodger Stadium and back.
You could probably drive to Anaheim Stadium in the time it takes for you just to get from the 101 to Dodger Stadium.
Exactly. Yeah. But we'll go because I don't want to miss out. I'll get FOMO, and we're gonna. If you want to go with us, I'm gonna buy the cheapest ass ticket they have.
Oh sure.
And I'll
walk
around.
Put them on the big screen anyway.
Yeah,
if they do.
I'll be able to walk around. We can sneak right down behind home plate because Jed gets on the field.
Yeah.
along with I think his dad's going to go, because his dad's moving down here from Petaluma, California, and Pam and I was hang out in the stands like last time, and then get a photo.
Yes.
Come home, or back this way. It would stop somewhere.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. May 25th.
Let me take a look at what day of the week that's going to be.
It's a Sunday.
Oh, perfect. Then I.
And they have to be back early to. They
will. Oh, do HT Grill.
HT Grill, yeah.
Also, Jack's not even staying for the.
No, and he's an Angel fan.
He lives close. Last year he was talking about all the times if he was off, he went to games, you know?
I think he's only an Angel fan because he's really a St. Louis fan in the same colors.
Yeah.
You think about it. And what's his name? Came and played Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing. I think people go by color a lot, but instead of, like, my wife, her favorite color is blue.
Well, sometimes. Plus, you know, if you're a hardcore Cardinal fan, you know, they met the Dodgers in the playoffs, you know, the Need and Fewer thing. He almost wore a Need and Fewer jersey to the
That's right.
thing last year. You know, so, you know, he's got that, like, I can't root for the Dodgers in his blood. Being a Cardinals fan, so it's like I'll root for the other team, even though they're not very exciting.
Root for Jack Clark. That's right.
And Otani was there, and now he's not. But, I mean, that was worthwhile watching the Angels for. I got into them last year, and the minute I started following, they, like, had a big losing streak, and then they fired the manager. I go, I turned my back on that team when I was, like, five when we moved to Northern California.
And then Shohei tears his arm up.
A couple times.
Yeah,
now,
it's so amazing. He's still paying him $1 billion or whatever it is.
They are. You mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. He also is one of a handful of players, athletes, who have deferred contracts. He still makes something like $3 million a year from a contract he signed back when he was, top of the pops and, going to all-star games and stuff.
These guys are sharing apartments with like three or four other guys and eating. Cereal every night, and then next month they're making $1 billion. Huh? Well, that's professional sports.
It is, and that's life for the Oakland A's. Even still,
they won't pay.
they don't. And there was a couple of the guys back in the 90s. Would rent a house, and then they'd sublet it to all the. I think Jason Giambi had a house in Danville or Blackhawk, one of the really nice suburbs up there. And, he rented out the other four rooms to younger players because, they couldn't all afford it. And, when you're in the season, you're hanging out with your teammates anyway, and half the time you're in a hotel. Why not get a nice house and, split the rent?
Freeman, and who's his buddy from Atlanta? Jason somebody.
Oh.
He's an outfielder now with the Dodgers.
Hayward? Jason Hayward?
Yeah. They were roommates for years and years and years. I saw this. Dodgers special.
We
still have 690. It's on 690 on our TV.
Okay.
So the Dodger station.
Uh-huh.
So you turn it on now, and again, I'm watching a special with him and Freeman and
Hayward.
And they're best friends. And he got the Dodgers to pick up Hayward after he was cut by the
Cubs released him.
Yeah. So, but they were roommates for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they once they make $1 million a minute, that's when they meet their pretty wives.
Oh yeah. Yeah, imagine
that. They have pretty kids too.
Well, of course.
They all have pretty kids. I watch look at this special about the Rams, and they have Matt Stafford.
His kids are beautiful.
I would put armed guards on him so he get kidnapped. And his wife's beautiful.
Of course.
And he's handsome. So it's just basically you put them together and they have perfect kids.
Winning gene pool.
They're not as pretty as my kids.
Not at all.
But
for a football family, they're
very good. Pam could have married rich instead of an F up.
I almost sent you a text the other day. Roman Gabriel passed.
No, I was going to put it on my Facebook.
I figured you saw it because it was on
Facebook.
I did,
yeah.
And,
I did. Funny, I have another name down here who passed, but Roman Gabriel's more important to me. He was my hero.
Yeah.
1967, he's a MVP.
Yeah.
And he's a prototype, man. He's 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And I shocked one of my daughter's best friends, Taylor Bongiovanni.
Uh-huh.
And I call him Thor.
Okay.
And they just had a baby. And they're moving to St. Louis because she's from there, and they can live there cheaper. But
sure.
Anyway, he's Thor because he played college football, and he works out.
He's blonde, probably.
No. Dark, he's Bongiovanni.
Oh, okay.
But his mom's Filipino.
Oh, interesting.
And so He's a very handsome dude.
Yeah.
I said, you know, who's your favorite football player? He loves football. You never heard of Roman Gabriel.
Yeah.
I go, you're a Filipino. Go look him up. Just tell your mom. And he did. He came back, got back to me. Oh, my God.
No.
And he was great. So, but, yeah, I was a big fan of Roman Gabriel. There's a restaurant called Trainees. There's one in Santa Pedro and one by Long Beach Airport.
Long Beach. Uh-huh.
Okay, so Phil Trainee has all the sports memorabilia in there.
Yeah.
Because every professional athlete in L.A. County hangs out there.
Uh-huh.
Goes by.
Yeah.
And they had a picture of Roman Gabriel there. And on the wall, and my son-in-law borrowed it with permission
uh-huh.
a couple of years ago and had it done over. It made me a perfect copy of it.
Nice.
Of Roman Gabriel.
I've seen it.
Yes, and that's hanging up. So,
yeah
I was disappointed. I love that movie because he was in The Undefeated.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a goofy movie. Him and Merlin Olsen.
Yeah.
And all four of the stars are dead.
Wow.
Rock Hudson, John Wayne, Merlin Olsen, and now Roman Gabriel.
Roman Gabriel. He outlived
him. I was a big, big fan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My mom would have... Well, she would have done a lot of people. She was.
He was one of my mom's favorite too. I remember when I first recognized his name and football in general. I remember my dad saying, "Oh yeah, old Romantic Gabriel's on the TV again."
Oh yeah, and just a combination of the two parents. He's a handsome dude.
But yeah,
it's funny.
Great name too, Roman.
I know. Well, the bartender at R10's name Roman. That's how I remember his name.
Oh, nice.
So even though I haven't been 2 weeks.
Not good.
Yeah, 3 hours, 4 minutes, and 6 minutes.
Not that we're counting or nothing.
No, but it just got kind of funny. I actually was worried. You know, I've been boozing a lot my whole life, you know, so
right.
not falling down drunk most of the time. Anyway, that's fine. But I just might stick around and keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to see... I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago, right?
But hey, I remember that Rams game in the 60s.
Matthew Rousseau.
Oh, okay. By himself.
By himself.
Pet the dog.
Pet the dog.
Uh huh.
And he was at
Lighthouse.
The schooner. No, Project Barley.
Okay.
In the harbor. And I go, well, it's kind of no fun to go to these places, and I don't drink much beer anyway.
Right.
So I said, "Do you have a non-alcoholic beer?" He goes, "IPA."
Mm-hmm.
And it's a light IPA.
Okay.
It's just one of the reasons I took this sabbatical so I can drop these. I'm stalled on this weight. I want to drop 10 pounds.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go, okay, only 45 calories. I act like some old gal. Only 45 calories.
All right.
How many carbs? And then I drank it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the name of the company, but it was really, really good. Pam and I went to BevMo yesterday trying to find just look at the can, and we couldn't find one.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you need a non-alcoholic beer, and low-cal, low-everything, it tastes like real beer.
I'll consider that.
Yeah, it's they have it at Project Barley, but I going to bars, I went to Nodge's yesterday.
Yeah.
To meet this young lady I've known now for about 15 years, and she's a friend of ours, niece, but she's also in the Special Olympics.
Okay.
And I'm her buddy.
Okay.
But she's 46 years old, so Pam and I went over. They were going back to Pennsylvania today, so I met her at Nodge's, and she has to have a beer with me.
Yeah.
So I got a Corona Light without non-alcoholic. I feel kind of weird. Non-alcoholic beer, please. And any bartender looks at me and goes, "What?"
Yeah.
I said, "No, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. I'm just not drinking."
Yeah.
And with Nodge's.
Okay.
A couple of days. Yeah, I'm going to bars too much. But it's okay if you get non-alcoholic beer, you still go out to bars.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, but try it. Yeah, just go to Project Barley.
All right.
But we saw Matthew, and he was really good. And I noticed you musicians are funny. Everybody thinks I know a lot about music because I work with guys in the music business.
Yeah.
I don't know shit.
Yeah, well, you do. I mean, it's the same thing as going, you know, I'm not a four-star Michelin chef, but I know if my food tastes good, if it's undercooked,
that's right, yeah.
If it's burnt, if the ingredients are, you know, if there's an issue, I can detect it, or if it's really good, I can appreciate it other than just a meal. This was a really good one.
Oh, good. I feel like a better chef now.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing, too. I was playing with my old friend's band, and we were down at some just dive bar in San Pedro, you know, which, you know, that's par for the course.
Which one?
Exactly. Could be any one of them. And there was many nights where his wife ended up being the driver because Will and I were, you know, the first in line to get drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a night she goes, I don't want to be the driver tonight. And I go, you know, I'll be the driver tonight. So we get down there. And anyway, there was another band that was playing, and then we were going to do, like, the middle set, and then this other band was going to close their, you know, like, three-hour show or whatever. So they play, and, you know, my friend and his wife are, you know, drinking a little bit, and then the band gets to, like, you know, we're just going to play our second set now, and then you guys can close. It's, you know, still getting the same time. So I gave those two another hour to drink. You know, a band played their second set. So I'm literally the only sober person in the bar. And it was a train wreck because they were inebriated. And we weren't using a regular drummer. So he didn't know the songs. He had just played with the other band.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you know, mercy, the night went on. We were done and we were packing up and going home. And this guy who was there... And this was like a longshoreman hangout. Like half the people had like longshoreman union, you know, whatever it is, longshoreman union. And this guy was, you know, he's talking to Michelle, you know, Willem's wife at the time. And then he sees me and he goes, and you, and he's clearly drunk. He's like, you didn't even look like you're having fun up there, blah, blah. You couldn't wait to get home. And I was like, I didn't confront him, but I'm thinking true because I'm the only sober guy in the bar.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and then he starts, you know, like being critical of this and that and the other thing. And then the guy who was playing drums, you know, he goes, hey, you know, do you play an instrument yourself? You know, and I was like, the whole time I'm thinking it doesn't matter, you know, whether he knows or plays, he didn't enjoy the show. Either it was me just not smiling or performing enough, or he could tell I was the odd man out because I was sober or something. But I'm like, you know, just because he doesn't play doesn't mean he didn't have a good time. So we can all recognize if I had fun, did I have a good time with the band, you know, I don't have to be a musician necessarily, you know, so don't sell yourself short on that. You know more about music than you give yourself credit for, is what I'm trying to say.
Cool.
You know, appreciate whether you can play Smoke on the Water after I showed it to you 2 years ago and you didn't retain the information is another story.
Much, yeah.
However, you know what you know. You like what you like. You enjoy your bands that you enjoy. And, you know, you don't bother with this other stuff that doesn't really grab your attention.
Yeah. It's funny. I was down there and I enjoy the music just as much sober as I did when I was drinking.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back to drinking. I'm not wagging in forever.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I don't think... It's been quite a while since I've been, like, falling, you know, totally wrecked.
Right.
Go have a couple of drinks. And it's kind of funny. You go to a bar. The other day, we were at HT.
Yeah.
Watch Jack and Matthew.
Uh-huh.
Jed's out of Jed and Matthew. Jack's out of town.
Right.
And Pam and I are both drinking club soda with cranberry.
Yeah.
And
looks like a cocktail.
They wouldn't even take a tip. It cost me zero.
Hmm.
It's so funny. I'm not used to going to bars and not without a Benji.
Oh, I know. So no kidding.
But it's all fun. We went there, and Matthew, when he's by himself,
mm-hmm.
let me go back to the original topic, he was more passionate and emoting more because he had to carry the show by himself.
Yeah.
And I noticed when they're all together, he can be more mellow. I
mean, yes.
But he was more like more Jim Morrison when he was by himself.
Uh-huh.
Like he at the whiskey, he was like Jim Morrison. I told him that.
Yeah.
But this, you know, it was really good. He's played by himself. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to play tomorrow at the, I don't know if Matthew's playing. They're playing at the Rock and Brews in El Segundo.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, which I don't know what I'll make. We may be having a party. I'll invite you to. Our friend Dorothy, that people don't know her, but they do know her. Probably they see her around.
Dodger fan Dorothy?
Yeah, Dodger fan Dorothy. And... It's her birthday Friday. Well, no bands that we know are playing Friday.
Okay.
And they got canceled from R10 because there's another big party going on.
Oh, boy.
So I'm supposed to go be a pour beer at the North Redondo Spring Fest on Friday night
from
5 till 9. But we also might have double booked probably going to have, we may be having the party for her at our house and bringing in Feed the Kitty.
Okay.
So if you're free, we'll let you know. I'm going to tell people other than you, you got to bring in $25.
Yeah.
Pay the band. I'm not paying the band.
Yeah.
But so I do. I've done that. You've been there. I've done it before, and it works
yes.
out. You know, it's a fire trap. I get too many people now, so we should call the, what's that band that burned down the?
Oh, Great White.
Great White, yeah.
They're a South Bay band.
They'd yeah,
probably
Great
find,
White.
Swing a cat and find one of them.
Yeah, the, sure, I could.
Really. One of them lived down on the Redondo, he lived in a boat down on the pier.
Oh, really?
Like a houseboat.
See, I wouldn't have followed him. I don't, that wasn't my music. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I you know, it's, as they know, it took me a little while to warm up to this pet project with Matthew. You know, now they're outstanding.
Right.
But we're going to have them there, and most likely. But if not, there Pam is having, on Saturday, Pam's meeting up with three women that she went to high school with.
Nice.
And I know people that are listening to that, that would know these women.
Right.
And they are going to have, they're all 70 now.
Uh-huh.
So they're all going to meet for dinner at the Chart House in Redondo.
Okay.
They invited Pam. And Pam doesn't really want to go.
Uh-huh.
But Pet Project is playing at Waterman's in Hermosa on that night at 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go there.
While this is Saturday?
Yeah. So I'm going to go to Waterman's alone.
Uh-huh.
And they will be at dinner. But she's going to drag them over, if they will. They're staying in the hotel down here.
No, they're
going to drag them
over.
Well, they're, I'd be nice. They didn't hold up quite as well as Pam. They are nasty bitches. And you, the three of them, they're probably, if Donald Trump got convicted, they're going to start burning things.
Okay.
They're crazy. But she's going to drag them over there.
Yeah.
And it should, believe me, an interesting scenario. Big Mama, Debbie, and I forgot the other girl's name. But they're all big mamas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're funny. And they're not going to listen to the show, so I can say whatever I want. But it's, so I'll be hanging out. If you're bored on Saturday, come on over there. But it's kind of weird when you get used to following somebody and they're not playing.
It is.
But we were there, Matthew, the other day we showed up at Project Barley and we didn't tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
We just kind of walked in 10 minutes after they started.
Yeah.
And he's great. He acknowledged us and then he wouldn't take a break because he knows that
uh-huh.
breaks mean Pam's leaving.
Yep, that means I lose my audience.
So he played from 2 to 5.
Wow.
And he took his break at 4:30. So he said, I knew Pam would have to stick around for at least the last three or four songs.
Uh-huh.
Then he played a little while longer. And then the other day at HT, we could only go by for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I told him we're leaving at this time. And then as soon as he saw me stand up from this, we are the stand-up tables anyway.
Right.
They went into Friend of the Devil. And yeah, just flipped them off. So we had to stick around for that. But
that's funny.
They got us figured out pretty well. But it's a good time.
I was going through some notebooks the other day from, you know, the different bands I've played in over the years. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, hey, can you fill in for this guy? But we play in 2 weeks and we need to learn, you know, 14 songs. So I'd learn those 14 songs in 2 weeks. And
mm-hmm.
This one band I did play in for a little bit called Wayward Cactus, they did Friend of the Devil. So I found my old notes for that song because mm-hmm. we played it a number of times. And I used to really play it well. And I'm like, I got to relearn that because it's been a long time. And every now and then the guys might ask me, they have asked me in the past, you know, like,
I love
if they're
song.
Doing two gigs, Jed might be like, hey, you want to play for 10 minutes so I can take a break?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if I can learn a couple of their songs, if that
used
to happen again.
Well,
Matthew's
great at playing covers, too. They're all playing covers.
Right. I like his covers and what they do with Pet Project. It's slightly different than the Feed the Kitty list, but...
Okay, he does Buttercup and all. He does like dancing from the 60s and stuff.
Yeah.
But because he's that kind of guy.
I kind of like his Lionel Richie, All Night Long.
He does that great.
He's
I know.
So cool. I'm like, this is a really cool version, and I'm not a big Billy Joel fan, but only the Good Die Young is a good cover that they do.
Yeah, he does that. I'm not a big boy.
I'm just not.
It's fine.
You know, but the older stuff I'm okay with.
But Jack, see, Matthew messes up the lyrics a little bit on Friend of the Devil.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he's playing acoustic guitar. He's not playing like Jerry Garcia.
Right.
And yet, you know, they go doom, doom, doom. That's not a bass. That's
right.
Not the bass.
No, you're right.
But Jed plays on the bass.
Uh-huh.
It sounds really good in the bass, and he plays it really loud.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't know what I was talking about. I go, that's not a bass. He went, I know, but he got to play something.
Yeah.
Doom, doom. And they play, I can usually guess songs for the first three notes.
Uh-huh.
And, but he's good. But Matthew goes, I don't know all the words. I go, Jerry Garcia didn't either.
He certainly didn't remember him.
Make up what you, just make it up, because no one here knows. And I may know.
Yeah.
And Pam will know, but no one cares. There's no bad way unless you try and do a Wayne Newton version or something. But
yeah.
It's all fun. It's something I'm jealous of. By the way, I want to mention before we go, Dickie Betts died.
Right. That was the big one. Big name.
Because we know his son, Dwayne.
Yes.
And he's getting quite huge now. He's around the country.
I downloaded one of his EPs or albums, mm-hmm. and I swear there's a number of times something come up and I'd be like, who is this?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Dwayne.
He's got some really
good stuff.
No, remember where he bailed out the concert.
Yeah, at Brixton.
Brixton, when his dad walked off the stage because it was too small.
Yeah.
And he... Of course, I was in the back smoking cigarettes with Dickie Betts. That was the best part.
Absolutely.
My wife didn't know I was smoking cigarettes. We're outside overlooking the ocean, and he's bitching about the sound stage. I go, well, this isn't quite the L.A. Coliseum.
Ain't the Fillmore East.
Yeah, come on. It's not Woodstock or whatever. But
right.
Anyway, sorry, he's dead. 80. Didn't get cheated out of life.
That's a good run.
Yeah, good. And,
I mean, considering he was an Allman Brother. You know, they partied.
He stayed away from motorcycles, apparently. And,
that's probably why he made it.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't a good thing. Allman Brothers and motorcycles don't mix.
No. Well, you know what? Motorcycles and booze don't mix.
That's
or drugs.
Right.
So, not that I was... I'd have a beer or so, drive my car.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even... We go on our bike rides or the Harleys. I wouldn't even have a beer at the beer joints.
That's almost a zero tolerance for most bikers.
Well, a lot of us, they have to pee.
Yeah.
but you don't drink anything. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of these places all the people go to in the Malibu Canyon or Topanga Canyon, wherever it is,
yeah.
And down in Orange County, these guys leave there messed up. Tequila's a tequila big time.
Yeah.
But I never did that. But I sold the motorcycle anyway because I can't afford to crash anymore.
Right.
Which seems weird. I've had a motorcycle my entire life since I was like 14.
Yeah.
It's weird not having one, but... It's more fun to have a golf cart.
Definitely.
On that note, we got to go. I'm going to be a few minutes early so I can get back down and take my granddaughters
for a walk. Watch them wake up.
Yeah, watch them wake. Well, they'll be awake when I get there, but I'll wake them up.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you. Talk to you next week.
All right.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. Woo! One hell of a city.